clear their airways for the big broadcast. It's time for HempRadio.com, your source for everything hemp and cannabis. With your host, Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis.
Hey, welcome to Hemp Radio. It's Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis. Another fabulous day at the beach. And I think this could be, we don't have that many beach days left. School started, college started, whatever, right?
But we're still here podcasting from beautiful downtown Huntington Beach.
And that is my fabulous co-host, Jennifer Van Zandt. And we have a special guest today, and he's very cute. And so Jen and I are probably fighting over him because I'm a cougar and she's a cougarette. She's a cougar in training.
A cougar in training. That's so sad.
Hey, you know, it is what it is, babe. Anyway, we are here with James Eichner.
Yep, that's correct.
And James has a company called Sana, S-A-N-A, Packaging. And I was so impressed. How did we find James?
I think we found him when Google searching packaging for...
Straws.
We were looking for hemp straws.
Hemp straws.
That's what
do you
it
make
was.
Them?
We do not.
Okay, well, you need to.
Can you?
We can only make very rigid and opaque plastics right now, but okay. Down the road, would love to do that.
James is going to tell us all about the packaging, but we want to know a little bit more about him, and I'm really impressed because he's from Switzerland, and I don't have any friends in Switzerland, or I don't have that many friends, do I? No, I don't.
Well, you have a few.
Anyway, tell us how you got started in packaging.
I was in graduate school at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and my business partner actually approached me with the idea, and at the time it was for a class project in a sustainable venturing class. So it was the kind of thing where at the beginning of the semester, everyone in the class pitches, you know, ideas to work on throughout the semester, and then you break out into groups and work on them all semester.
Right.
And so he came to me with the idea, actually. That said, the reason he came to me was because he knew that, like him, I was an avid cannabis consumer and also a cannabis consumer that was very frustrated with the amount of packaging waste that was building up in my apartment.
I was going to say, do you ever collect plastic for a week and just get astounded at how much unrecyclable plastic is in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, and then especially with cannabis packaging, because even if the material is recyclable, a lot of places don't recycle it because, for lack of a better term, it has drug residue on it.
Which is bizarre to me.
Wait a minute. I don't understand what he just said.
The process of remelting the plastic, wouldn't that eliminate any drug residue?
Yeah, I don't think there's an actual...
It just seems like a technicality.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a health code thing or a public safety thing. I think it's more like... recyclers, you know, cannabis is still federally illegal, so these big recycling facilities are probably just not wanting to take the risk of
but of how are they
that.
Knowing that it's
yeah, really.
Cannabis packaging?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an excellent question.
I mean, these are things about the cannabis industry that make me insane. Like, oh, you can't recycle those multicolored film container.
But that's plastic.
Right. But that you can't recycle it because there was pot in it.
Who said it? The Dumb Employment Agency?
Somebody
the DEA?
Somebody like that.
We don't care what they say, though, because they are going to do whatever they can to fuck with us, as always. But you are in the right direction with all the packaging. So do you make it out of... hemp, the flower, the stem, what do you use in your packaging?
Yeah, so technically the material we're using is a fiber-reinforced biocomposite. We use hemp fiber from the herd, which is the the innards of the stalk. So the outer layer that's kind of like
the bark,
is called the baste. And then the herd is what's inside.
Right.
And it's this like woody core. And so we basically grind that down into a powder of sorts.
Okay.
And infuse that with a corn-based PLA, which is our base resin. So that's the biocomposite part, is the corn-based PLA. And then the fiber-reinforced part is we're reinforcing that with hemp herd.
So if you're using a corn-based plastic, how does that affect the decomposition? What activates it? Is it water activated, or is it?
It's light water and oxygen.
Okay.
And then obviously in a controlled environment. The base PLA resin we're using is already certified compostable.
Okay.
We haven't run compostability tests on our packaging yet for a number of reasons. Staging out all the different testings we have to do.
Composting ball, yeah, on your
patio. And then also, quite frankly, part of it is, you know, a big issue that we have to face as a society and as an economy is not just innovating the materials that we use, but also improving our waste recovery systems. So,
absolutely.
Even if our packaging does pass the compostability testing, the chance of it actually getting processed by a commercial composter is about 5%. And that's just because our composting facilities in the United States just need to sort of be brought up to speed with, for instance, those in Europe, where they're, they have a much stronger waste recovery infrastructure. Well,
and
there.
When I was in the paper industry, this was years ago, I was always amazed at how much more recycling was required by the European governments.
Right.
And especially Germany, like they're corrugated.
Right.
Had to be able to be recycled X number of times and it was like they were recovering it and remanufacturing corrugated cardboard.
Right.
And, and that's why they came up with all different patterns of the fluting to keep it dimensionally stable, because the more times you recycle something, the less stability, because
right.
the fibers are getting shorter and shorter.
Right.
But, that kind of stuff is key. Getting people to actually recycle stuff, that's used in other products.
Right.
I have a question. Where do you buy your materials to make your products?
Yeah, so...
And are they all made in Colorado?
No, they're all made domestically, though. So currently we source all of our hemp herd from a natural fibers processor in Kentucky, and they source their hemp from a variety of farms across the United States. I think the last time I checked, the particular hemp that we were using was coming from Colorado, Kentucky, and North Dakota.
Oh, good. Okay. And what I love about your products, they're all made in the USA.
Yeah.
You're not getting your hemp herd from Europe.
Correct, yeah.
I mean, and now that we're growing, do you know Ryan Laughlin, because you're in Colorado?
I don't.
Oh, well, he grew when they said you weren't allowed to grow.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. I thought maybe you knew.
And
you knew him.
So the new Farm Bill amendment, is just going to benefit your business when there's more growers, more source for you.
Correct.
Do you have any feelings on it? Do you think that it will get passed?
We honestly try not to think about it.
You
too
can't.
Much because you get you, it's so easy to get caught up in
right.
the minutia of like, well, what if it does? What if
you
it doesn't?
Can't.
What
well,
does that
right.
mean? Like, we just continue to operate under the assumption that like it's not there, because we just have to always be ready for, what's the worst case scenario and how do we operate under those circumstances.
Well, I think that at this point, it's like it's passed to a certain degree.
Right.
It's just, are they going to make it easier for people to use and create hemp products. And, you know, putting in the criminalization clause, I think, is kind of bogus.
What's the criminalization clause?
If you were convicted of a felony in the cannabis industry, you're prohibited from growing hemp.
Well,
and that's like all of the pioneer people.
Wait a minute. I think that that's, we're going to have to research that, because I thought they expunged those or whatever you call that.
The law, the way it is currently written, is it's worded so that anybody who is convicted of a cannabis felony cannot be a hemp grower. So,
yeah, that's unfortunate.
That is, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, like the law, the part of the laws that get me so upset, you know, that make it difficult.
They'll change. They keep changing. They'll keep changing.
To be in business. Right. And you're fortunate in that you have selected a, you know, part of the business that isn't really.
Right. It's an industrial application.
Right. So they're not going to take you to jail because they don't really care. Anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back. Jen and James Eichner with Santa. I want to say Santa, but it's S-A-N-A. Santa Packaging. And we'll be right back with some Hot Pot Topics.
Clear the airwaves for the big broadcast. It's time for HempRadio.com, your source for everything hemp and cannabis. With your host, Patty Cakes, the queen of cannabis.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Hemp Radio. It's Patty Cakes. I'm here in fabulous downtown Huntington Beach with my friends. Are you my friend?
Of course.
Okay. my co-host, Jen, and this just sweet person next to me, James Eichner, who is with Santa Packaging.
Santa Packaging.
That's what I said. Santa?
You said Santa
again. I know. I want to say it's S-A-N-A. It's not Santa like Santa Claus, and I'll probably be saying it the rest of the day. Anyway, but before we get... Hi, James.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fabulous.
I know you are. Anyway, before we get started, back to James, I want to salute Las Vegas.
What they do in Vegas now?
A 24-foot-long bong.
Nice. How many?
Fully functional.
What hotel is it in?
For a week.
Yeah. There are two flights of stairs curling around the head-turning glass bong, 24 feet. There will be an elevator to ferry people from the ground floor where the pipe's 100-gallon reservoir sit. Listen, Vegas is my second home.
How can you even smoke?
We're going to see.
Through a chamber
that
big?
Yeah.
I want to know how it works.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know the science behind that.
It weighs more than 100 pounds, and the bowl can pack a quarter of a pound of marijuana. I love it.
That's awesome.
It has elements of the glass that will make it glow, greenish mostly, while bathing in black light. The artist is Jason Harris, and it's his artistic opus to the cannabis culture. I make giant bongs, he said. They are my voice to make noise in the world. And it's on Fremont Street.
Wait a second. It's called Bongzilla.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Sometimes you have to go with the obvious choice. Hey, Bongzilla.
What are we going to name it?
In Vegas, size does matter. So everything's bigger there.
Yeah.
Just remember that when you go there.
Although they could have gone with King Bong, too.
They're saying it's a sensory tsunami. They had some good content writers for their little blurbs.
Well, you know what? He has this on, if anybody knows anything about Vegas, he has it downtown in Old Town Vegas on Fremont Street. And also there they have a... Vegas Vic. Do you ever see Vegas Vic? It's the iconic neon cowboy.
Yes.
That's on Fremont Street. They're collecting shit now. So now they have this bong there with Vegas Vic. And they also have a giant pint of Guinness atop Hennessy's, 80 feet tall. They have also Slotzilla.
Nice.
That's the biggest slot machine in the
yeah.
world.
Yeah. Las Vegas, ever since they decided to go legal, they decided that they were going to be the Amsterdam of the world. That's their goal, and they will. They will do it. They're doing it. It's working out great there. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The dispensaries are beautiful.
Wasn't the Gaming Commission against it for a long time?
They didn't win.
Thinking back a few years ago.
Yes, but power in numbers. The people wanted it, and that's what they got.
I'm sure they also eventually just saw the financial opportunity.
And they saw the... Right.
And just want to point out that the Bongzilla, is on display at Cannabition, the Cannabis Museum, the world's first interactive cannabis museum.
Is this
in Las Vegas. This is
interact.
What,
can we smoke it?
Interactive.
They claim it's fully functioning, so it'd be kind of bullshit if you
be the first to experience Cannabition.
It's didn't open yet. It's opening in September. I will be there.
Let's be there for the opening.
I definitely will. I will definitely. So let's go. Pack your bags.
Let's find out what the ticket price is.
Anyhow, I thought that was really fun to talk about because I like to talk about what people are doing. You know, Vegas is big, man. Everything they do there is big, and I applaud them. So, James, let's talk about your product line.
Yeah.
What was your first product that you thought there was a need for?
Well, we kind of looked at it. You know, the packaging that was piling up in our apartments most commonly was just your traditional pop-top container, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
I have hundreds of them.
Yeah, so our first real thing was to design something that functioned to the same level as a pop-top and would be a replacement for that. So something designed for short-term flower storage. And so that was the idea behind the Sonic Container, which is the first product we designed.
Okay, so what's the Sonic Container?
The Sonic Container is...
Is that where I'm going to put my pot?
Yes, it is.
Does it have a pop top?
It does not have a pop top. It has a sliding top.
Which is better. I hate the pop tops.
Yeah, so...
Because they open.
Exactly. So we wanted something that wouldn't open in your pocket. Having lived in Colorado for a long time before moving out here and having started the company in Colorado, we were thinking of, you know, pop tops popping open in our pockets while we were skiing and things
right.
like that. And then also, you know, the lid on ours, you can flip it over and it doubles as a rolling tray.
Nice.
And then we also designed...
Multifunctional.
Yeah. And then we also designed the containers
to... Who's the engineer in the group?
We have people much smarter than us who
okay.
are engineers.
Okay.
I would never pretend to be as smart as an engineer.
Yeah,
when it
no.
comes to design. Like
no,
that.
But I mean.
But we, you
yeah.
know, we the way we went about it is, you know, we had an idea in our head, and then we worked with some very talented people to tease that idea out
sure.
of our heads
sure.
and turn it into
wow.
a reality.
So you got the pop top.
Yeah.
Did you bring one?
I did. I can grab it.
I wanted to see.
Should I grab it now?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, so we can... I like to look and feel and touch. You know, I'm
absolutely.
One of those people.
Hold on while I rummage through my bag for a moment.
We'll take anything else that's good in there.
So, here's the container.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love that.
And they, so we also designed it so they nest
Wait a
inside
minute,
of each other.
I can't open it.
Well, it is child resistant and sometimes adult resistant.
Okay, wait. Oh.
Squeeze and slide?
Squeeze and slide.
That's what he said.
There you go.
Oh, there's nothing in here.
Oh,
no, no, I...
Okay, so this is hemp plastic. Is this hemp plastic?
That is hemp plastic. It's 100% plant-based and chemical-free, and the formulation is 30% hemp and 70% corn PLA.
I'm gonna take a picture of
Please do. Of
these, and I will put this on for our show.
Please do.
We always have a picture of them, so
yeah,
I will
and we
do
have
that.
To take a selfie with you at the end too.
Of course.
Please don't forget, because we do every single time we forget. Okay, and this is the joint.
Yeah, this is the sauna too.
You know what? When I saw these online, I thought they were paper.
Ah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking. I didn't understand it. I didn't know that they were hemp plastic. Oh, fuck.
It's similar to an Advil container. So line up.
I don't take aspirin.
So you line up the dots like that. And
okay.
Then it pops open.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I like the way it locks, though, and again.
Yes.
From the smell of this one. This is one I've kept a burnt joint in.
So what about the printing?
That's pad printed.
Okay.
But we can do digital.
What does that mean?
It's basically screen printing.
It's like a screen print that...
Okay.
Yeah. So we can do, pad printing or digital printing or sticker labels.
And so it's compatible with standard industrial adhesives.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
These are... absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
I am so excited. Okay, do you have anything else in that bag?
No, so these are the two products that we launched with this summer. We just started shipping out our first orders to customers mid-July. And we're still in the process of just getting up and running, and the rest of the year.
Oh, sure, it's hard.
Kind of focused on, all right, now that we've been working on this idea for so long, what's it mean to really implement it? And it's a learning experience for both my business partner Ron and I, because it's our first time
out of the gate
packaging and manufacturing. Yeah, so steep learning curve, but these are fun problems.
Oh my god, how fabulous!
How much of the idea did you formulate while in grad school? Was it like pretty much all out of your MBA program, or was it sort of like, oh yeah, we did that? And then you came
but
back,
he has
back
his,
to
he
it.
Has so, his, wait a minute. He has his degree in sustainability. That's what I read.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, what does that mean?
Well, that's more just what I tell people that I studied. It's like, I got an MBA. Well, what'd you study?
Wait a minute. Somebody wrote it, though, because I copied
it. I wrote it.
I said, this guy has a degree in sustainability. I want him to move in with me because I miss sustainability. I want everything. I want my whole condo made out of hemp. Everything.
Have you seen the
hemp house? Yes.
Yeah, the one in
the
Bellingham.
Car.
Yeah.
The car.
The car.
Now, did you go and physically see it? I didn't.
What? The
house.
No, I have not the one in, is it Bellingham? I keep saying Bellingham, but I'm not
Mississippi?
Sure it's
actually Bellingham. There's one in Mississippi, but isn't there one in Washington State?
There is, yeah.
And that's probably, look it up. That may be the one that he's talking about.
No, but I have seen like Hempcrete Tiny House at, I think, the NoCo Hemp Expo, and I've, seen a lot of Hempcrete in person before it's, not as part of the structure.
Right. I have hemp
now,
board.
Yeah.
That's what Larry's going to be doing.
Speaking of sustainability, Hope
Doctor Sustainability here.
Hope Hospital has their sustainable building in Huntington Beach. Now, did they use hempcrete or any hemp products
in
the construction?
It's not very widely used right now.
No.
I think a lot of the stuff, it's not really being used on a what I would call an industrial scale yet.
No.
So you'll see like the house in Washington that they built, they have so many cool videos, I think, on
Well,
their
this
Instagram
one
page.
That I just found on EcoWatch is actually in North Carolina.
Right.
Okay.
A really great design.
Yeah.
I mean, check
and there's
that.
A handful of them in the country, I'm sure.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. I would move in that.
Let's move to
right
North,
now.
Asheville, North Carolina.
I would
well,
never
that's
live
just
in.
Assume,
I would never live.
I'd
in,
live there in a heartbeat.
I'd live there. I'd live in that house.
I don't like. Do you know what the weather's like there?
Hot. Yeah.
Hot, humid, and you
mosquitoes.
Have
mosquitoes.
Wait a minute. The storms are horrible.
I know.
My cousin lives there, and
I have family close by in Georgia, and
it's green.
I can attest to the humidity.
See, I'm not into humidity.
My family's in upstate New York, and they always ask me why I don't come in the summer, and I'm just like,
really?
First of all, I live in Southern California.
If it's about 55, I'm sweating, I don't know.
and I'm just like, humidity and mosquitoes, I just can't, no.
I just looked at our time, and we got to take a break, and we'll come back. We're going to take a short break, and I was looking for my song to play, and I can't find it. I am so pissed. Oh, well. Lost. I'm very lost. Anyway, we'll be back with more Hot Pot Topics. Hey, welcome back. It's Patty, the Queen of Cannabis, and it's Friday, and I'm having so much fun, as I usually do by myself, because everybody thinks I'm stupid.
There's other people in the room today.
Jen wouldn't let me say any of my weird shit. I was not allowed to talk about sex or anything.
No, it was just that one item. And this is how she gets, she talks about what I don't let her say, so we have to talk about it.
So she won't let me say.
Right.
Yes. So anyhow, maybe it's because that we have a very special guest today. And James, do you care?
What
did I talk about sex or
not
anything?
Not at all.
There you go. I'll start mentioning the Japanese penis parade if you don't shut up. It's a real thing.
Sure it is.
Millions, I mean, attend. It's. I was in shock. Anyway.
Were you there? Do you have pictures?
I have pictures. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. Anyway, we're here with James Eichner with Santa Packaging, and they are incredible. They're sustainable. Their tagline is Sustainable Hemp Solutions, and they're made in the United States, which is impresses me immensely, because I do my hemp bags, and I can't say that yet, because it costs me $3 more per bag to make them here.
Yeah, that's definitely been a challenge, is, you know, we decided we were really committed to doing it all domestically, mostly because we want to help our domestic agricultural economy.
Oh, of
course.
We want to support
that. And then beyond that, you know, in such a global economy, we believe in really trying to localize that globalization.
So how about for people who are making product and they want to consider your packaging, how much more expensive is it going to be?
We're about double what your traditional plastic would be.
Okay.
But it's not made the same.
No.
I mean, this is like pretty, this is very solid.
Yes,
I mean, I couldn't open it, let alone a kid, although kids are smarter than
us. Well, you actually figured it out very quickly, so I'm impressed. So, congratulations.
I am smart.
So, have you gotten pushback from the people who have used it? Or have they just been like,
We're still, we just started shipping orders, so I think we're going to start getting our first real, customer feedback really over the next few months and over this fall. And we're actually very eager to see what our customers think, because one of our mantras is to always be improving what we're doing, whether it's the materials that we're using in our plastic formulation or the designs. And, we're very aware that with sustainability in particular, it's taking one step in a right direction is never enough. So the reason we didn't want to use corn plastic and wanted to use hemp plastic is we thought corn plastic was a step in the right direction, but what's another step in the right direction? And that was hemp plastic. So we feel the same about our products. We know that, you know, our first generation of products isn't going to be perfect. It's an ideal we're going to keep striving towards. And, like I mentioned, the containers meant for short-term flower storage because it was designed to replace pop tops. With our second generation, we really want to try and tackle longer-term storage.
Mm. Oh, right, yeah.
So we are really excited. This is the long way of saying we're excited to get customer feedback over the next few months.
Oh, wow. Well, it's handsome. The packaging looks beautiful.
Thank you.
From a design, I taught marketing and advertising. From a design, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
I really like it.
The biggest pushback we get on a regular basis is the color. Because it's the natural brown of the hemp plastic.
That doesn't offend me because you offset it with the green.
Well, right, but this is our branding on here, you know, but we have, you know, companies approaching us and, you know, their brand.
Their branding. Know, it's like,
well, you know, because ultimately our packaging is a vehicle for someone else's brand.
Right, right. Okay, so they have white letters.
And these are understandable concerns, so... one of the things we definitely want to do is, you know, the natural color of the hemp plastic was the easiest thing to launch with.
Right,
so
right.
That's why we did it.
What steps would you have to take to make that packaging a lighter color?
It's basically, the hardest part is figuring out how to do it without compromising the sustainability of the material.
Okay.
So for instance, you know, you think like bleached white, right?
Mm-hmm. Would weaken it, would it?
Yeah, you know, you'd have to add, to get a white of that color, you have to add a lot of chemicals and stuff like that.
Right.
So, you know, the easiest variation...
So it takes your production from something being
right.
green
so,
to not so green because you're introducing all these chemicals
yeah.
into
and
it.
And so that's going to be a challenge we'll be working on, you know, as we move forward, is how do we make color variants without tampering the integrity
right.
of the material. And the easiest one will definitely be black because it's pretty simple to
right.
like add charcoal okay. or make it darker.
Right. So would it be easier to make a black one than a white one?
Yes.
Okay.
It would be.
And that'll likely
be the first color that we
sell. How easy would it be for, like, say somebody said, I want this to be, you know, this Pantone color, and I'll have it, the whole thing printed. Or could it be like in mold labeled?
I don't know. No one's asked that before. We would have to look into it and get
you mean somebody wants to alter the
like,
you're
like
I
print
just
on the
print,
whole
I want a blue one.
Yeah,
you want a blue one.
And I'm like, okay, I'll just have it printed blue.
Well, I assume the issues there would be it's easy to print on a
flat surface,
right?
But not
like,
so much.
But
on
even
the,
you know,
yeah.
even like with these, it's like you know, just. You know, getting the machines tuned
right.
to like print on like
exactly.
a curved surface
and
stuff.
Has anybody
there.
Like approached you about doing any kind of, you know, like in mold labeling or anything like that
mm-hmm.
that they do on soda bottles or laundry detergent type of bottles?
No.
Where it's, you know, they do it in a press that's like the bottle's formed and labeled at the same time.
No.
Well, that sounds like it would be an expensive process
mm-hmm.
or no?
Well, if they do, like, injection molding, I think they can do on smaller things.
Right, and that's what we're doing, is we're injection molding.
So. Ah, your boyfriend.
He always calls at the wrong time.
Look at that, right in the middle of the work thing.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Hold on. I gotta...
And,
okay, so, anyway, what were we doing before I so rudely interrupted everybody?
With your phone call?
Yeah. I had to get rid of the stalker.
I don't recall.
We were talking about the packaging,
yeah.
the labeling, the colors,
right.
and basically you're seeing brown as being a little bit of an obstacle, but I actually
right.
don't. In terms
I don't
of
either.
Sustainability and
I don't either.
Ether
right.
type of things, brown is often the
definitely.
Color.
Definitely. And you know, and what we found too with the customers we do have so far, and we're, you know, very fortunate to have a really solid group of them, is that they've really been championing what we're doing and really supporting us. So it hasn't really been an issue yet.
Right.
It's just a
right.
question we get a lot, you know, can you do this? Can
but
you do
I think that once you explain them of the naturalness of the hemp, and that's what this is, I think that they'll say, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
If unless they're just money grabbers and want to do, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Like we want to throw hemp on because it's
right,
trendy.
Right,
yeah. right, right.
No,
we
right.
Want, you know, like,
so, I mean, I think that it is what it is. And I could do my logo on there. And I mean, I wouldn't be offended. I would like the black because I'd have black, green,
think,
and white.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would put my pink logo on instead of
you
my
could
green
put,
one.
Mm-hmm. I'd, oh, turquoise.
Well, I do
turquoise.
Have the blue lotus one, too. As an artist, I mess around with my logo all the time.
Yeah. But what I do love, and I think, you know, this will remain even when we change
what's
the
what's that little green
love,
thing there?
That's a leaf.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But I love the just kind of the texture of the material. Like, it really is a beautiful material.
It's not a solid brown. It does have like a speckle.
Yeah, and we find that really attractive and cool. And it, you know, part of it's like seeing is believing in terms of like, oh, this is really made of hemp.
And you know, when you get it in front of a couple designers who think it's really cool, that, you know, have corporate clients, and they're like, oh, this is so cool and trendy, you have to do this. Then you have them selling your product for you to an end user, and that's kind of cool to see happen.
What else would you like to say?
Tell
us something. This is your time to shine.
Well, I guess the number one message that we always like to get across is that, you know, the cannabis industry with its, you know, roots in, you know, social justice and environmental justice, is that we think that the industry has a responsibility, and I would go so far as to say it's a real responsibility to be a platform for positive social, economic, and environmental change.
My phone does it all the time. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's just something that I would hate to see the industry move away from as it becomes more mainstream.
Right.
And I think it's a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, and this challenge manifests itself, I think, in a lot of different ways. Like, part of it is you see, you know, it just, it bubbles up in different ways in the industry. And like, one of the ways, for instance, is like, okay, how are, you know, second generation cannabis farmers in the Emerald Triangle going to, you know, compete and survive in an increasingly competitive landscape when, you know, they're really so much of the heart and soul of what the industry's been for a long time. And, you know, not, you know, how do we keep the small farmer and
Wait a minute. There's other things to do, though.
Totally.
And I believe in this, in the cannabis and the hemp industry, there's so many ways to go.
Right.
And they did that with the steel mills. I lived in a town that's what all it was. When they died, the people died because they didn't know what to do. And I'm thinking, you have all these factories, reinvent yourself, manufacture something else. But the people, the mentality, you know, they couldn't do that. They just couldn't do that.
But the other thing is, you know, there's an incredible burden on the people who started the industry and now they're being forced out by large agricultural conglomerates.
But don't you think that's happened in anything we've ever done since the beginning of time?
But that doesn't make it right.
No, I'm not saying it makes it right. I'm saying it's been since time began.
Sure.
Whoever has the most gets it.
Right. And yeah, I mean, you could even like traces back to like even like looking at things like, oh, well, look at the commercialization of, you know, rock and roll.
Stuff
like that. Like you're right. It happens everywhere with everything,
with
all the time.
Everything, all the time. So you have to have a plan B.
Right, right. I think, though, what's unique, though, is that in building an industry from the ground up, you know, nothing's set in stone yet. It's still federally illegal. We're going, you know, states are creating their own programs from scratch. And that's why I think, you know, if we do want to maintain some of this, whether you want to call it integrity or heritage or whatever it is, we have an opportunity now to try and, you know, pun intended, bake it into.
Right.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
And yeah, and so that's, and I think that's why, you know, business models like, you know, there's a lot of cooperatives and collectives out there. And I think those are cool business models where you have like smaller farmers pooling resources and in order to, you know, distribute their products across the state.
Right.
And that's really cool to see. And I would love to see more of that. So there are solutions out there.
There are solutions. I mean, the farmers need jobs. I mean, there's so many hemp. There's so many things to do with
it. Well, hemp's a different thing too. Like that, I think, is a real opportunity on, you know, for an industrial crop, to be, you know, I would love to, in, you know, however many years, see every farmer in the United States who grows industrial crops to be growing hemp at least every, you know, two or three seasons in rotation, you know,
right.
for soil.
But they used to do that.
Of course, yeah, exactly.
That, they all did that.
In cannabis, though, I'm a little more weary of seeing on that scale. Hemp, though, yes, because
right.
it's
no,
an
not
industrial
cannabis,
material.
But it's right. It's hemp.
Yeah.
Cannabis, I'd love for you know for it to maintain a level of craft, and I know that'll always be out there. But
yeah, definitely. What do you want to leave us with? Where do you see this going?
I think you know this is really just the beginning for hemp plastic. It's not a very widely used material. Its widest use right now is in the automotive industry. A lot of European car makers use it in things like interior door paneling, dashboards.
Yeah, right.
It is an incredibly strong material. We're, you know, I always hesitate to say we're the first or anything, but, you know, that I know of, we're the first to try and commercialize it as a hemp plastic, as a packaging material. But I think there's a huge opportunity for it as a packaging material because hemp's rapidly renewable and regenerative. That's why we want to use more hemp than corn. It's a more sustainable crop in pretty much every way. And I think it has huge potential outside of the cannabis industry. This just happens to be where we're starting.
Exactly.
And, you know, for anything that's single use, you know, single use packaging, typically plastic, single use plastic packaging typically has a useful life of less than a year. From when it's produced to, you know, when it stores whatever it is that it's meant to store to when it's discarded is typically less than a year. And then it can be trash for up to 400 years.
Right.
So.
But not hemp.
But not hemp, right. And so I would like to just see, honestly, I would like to see more people using hemp plastic. And I would like to see more people pushing the bounds of what the material can do, and,
yes.
and that means R&D and research, and
right,
really,
really
teasing out what can we do with this,
right? Absolutely,
and you know, obviously, it'll be some time before you know we can make straws or we can make this or that,
like shampoo bottles,
right?
Yeah, I mean,
and right now because it's a fiber reinforced biocomposite, you know, we can make rigid and opaque plastics.
Right.
So that's, you know, there's
so
limited
like the
use cases for what you can do with
that
something
are squishy, like
right.
lotion bottles.
Right.
Maybe
we're,
not
we're a ways from
at this
that.
Point.
We're definitely a
that
ways
would be
from that.
So
but,
amazing. If
but
you...
that's but that's what the direction we want to move in, and then really, I think you know. We would love to eventually expand into things like, you know, natural supplements or cosmetics or
containers for
everything.
Right, everything. Everything.
Straws because the amount of straws that are
and
thrown
I'm a
out,
straw. I don't like to put my mouth on.
But the amount of straws
you gotta get a glass or metal straw or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at you.
The amount of straws that are thrown out every day.
I'm gonna go throw it up in the ocean right down there.
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, and you know what?
And that is on a daily basis.
And what's so to put? So if you think that's a lot, like that is a lot, right? Madison Square Garden is huge. But like to really put that into perspective, straws only actually account for like 0.05% of. You know,
shit in the ocean.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
So it's really not even
so
like a tenth
it's only,
of a percent
right.
of the shit out there.
Oh, so let it go?
No, not so let it go.
Don't
like,
let it go, but
no,
there are
I
other
know.
Things that are more detrimental. That's how I look at it. I think the straw
but,
thing
no, but
is completely out of control.
Well,
now.
I think
I'm
the
sorry.
Straw thing is
no.
out of control because of the sea turtles.
And I think it's a good... I think it's great that...
I can't save everybody.
Trying to eradicate them so quickly from
what
like,
the sea turtles?
No, the straws. I think it's great because it's gotten it's an easy thing that people use every day. And
we
it's
like to suck,
and it's an easy thing that
right.
like you can. It's very easy for someone to consciously be like, okay, I'm not gonna use plastic straws. So then you think like, okay,
well, did you ever use a paper straw?
I have. Yeah. They're not. It's not a great solution.
Horrible. After three sucks.
That's why. I use this.
They're actually.
How do you wash that?
Well, this is because I don't have a dishwasher in my apartment. So.
You can get this little tiny brush to clean them.
Have you been to my house?
Yes,
I've been
to your house.
Do you think I'm going to do that?
No, I don't. But I do, and I also avoid plastic bottles, like plastic water bottles, because. Yeah. The water is poisonous that's in them. You know, plastic leaching into everything.
You know,
use glass.
I just pick which tree I'm hugging. You know what I'm saying?
I don't hug the plastic tree.
You know, I just pick the tree I'm hugging. And, I don't know. I applaud everybody for doing everything to make this a greater place. I'm just not that good at it all the time. I do my best. I promote hemp and pot.
Well, I think that... To go on what you're saying is I think what's interesting about sustainability is that in order for it to work, it needs to cater to, you know, it's too much to expect people to radically change their behavior.
Exactly.
Because that's just not in human nature. Change takes time. And it's like, well, if we all just stop doing this, we can solve the problem. But that line of thinking is unrealistic. And where sustainability struggles as an industry is when, you know, it's... Often the products aren't as good as what they're trying to substitute. And so it's like, why am I going to keep you, or, you know, why would someone say I'm going to keep using plastic straws? Is because like, well, it's the highest functioning straw. And that's like the challenge, right? Is how do you come up with something sustainable that works just as good,
well,
if not better,
listen,
than, you know,
I use straws because when you go to a restaurant, who knows how they wash their dishes? I am not putting my mouth on any glass or cup. I need a straw. I won't. I just won't. You know?
It sounds like a you problem.
Yeah. It's... Anyway.
On that note.
Listen, I got a lot of problems. You know, if psychology was your major,
I think on that
top.
Note, you have to say it with us. It's
I'm. How can they get you if people want to get involved and learn more about your products and, you know, what you're doing?
They should go to our website, www.sanapackaging.com, and that's SANA packaging.
See, I was pronouncing it wrong. It's sauna. It's not Santa.
You know, we're already bastardizing a word. Okay. So like,
what is it, sauna or Santa?
We say sauna.
Okay.
My business partner, he's half Indian, and his mother's family is from Bangladesh. And in Bengali, the word for hemp is shah. I'm sure I mispronounce that awfully.
Don't send us hate mail.
So if you speak Bengali and I just defended you,
I'm sorry.
but if you translate it into English, that's like how the letters come out, are S-A-N-A. And so we're already bastardizing this word pretty much. So if you say Santa, we're not going to be offended.
No, I like sauna better. Anyway, anybody want to learn more about sauna packaging, S-A-N-A, please go to the website. And
And also, I guess, check out our Instagram.
Instagram.
Which is just at sauna packaging. And that's how you reach us.
Okay, are you looking for a girlfriend? We can advertise that, too.
No, I have a wonderful
girlfriend. He has a fabulous girlfriend. Do you have pets? Do you need a pet?
I already have a fabulous pet, too.
He has a fabulous pet. He's
so
all
pets
set.
And girls, do not apply.
Anyway, thank you so much, James,
for joining
us today.
It's so much fun.
It's been so much fun. And on that note, it's time to blow this joint.